Welcome everyone this morning. I invite you to stand if you're able to, and welcome to everyone watching online this morning. Sister Fiona was telling us before rehearsal that she chose these songs because she felt like we all needed a little encouragement this morning. I fall in that camp. What about you guys, huh? If you're going through something, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord just like David did when he was struggling. So I invite you to do that today. Lay your struggles out before the Lord.
My heart is heavy all my days. Lift our hands. Such a beautiful, beautiful spirit of the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We had such a great prayer meeting here on Friday night. Just feeling the presence of the Holy Ghost. As Brother Trey says, today's a great day to have a great day. God bless you all. You can be seated this morning. Thank you, Sister Fiona, and our music team for ushering in such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost here. We have some giving options. They'll be on the board up on the behind me. You could click cgcmadison.org. You could mail it here. You can text to give. We have a movie night in the parking lot this Friday, July 31st at 9 p.m. And then on Saturday, August 22nd, there was a little bit of a change in our schedule. Originally, the district conference was going to be here in Madison, but because of the uncertainty of meetings and all of that and such, it's been moved. But we had originally had our back-to-school summer bash, which is kind of our Touch Twice clinic that it's kind of part of that, but we just focus more on the fall clinic on the school supplies. So we're going to go ahead, and even though there's some uncertainty of what schools are going to open or when they're going to open back, whether their supplies are needed at school or whether they're needed at home, a lot of kids still need school supplies. So we're going to be collecting, if you'd like to bring those donations, there'd be some blue barrels out in the lobby. And you can go ahead and put whatever you bring in those blue barrels. And also, if you'd like to take and give financially, you can go ahead and do that. And with our text to give or however you want to do, just put back to School Bash. And our staff will go out and we'll pick up those supplies for you if you'd like to do it that way. Sister Stephanie Thompson, if she could just stand up real quick. She's going to be overseeing this. So just so if you know want to know who to look for, Brother Sister Thompson. And then also we're going to have, I'm just asking the church, on August 3rd, 4th, and 5th, that we're going to have an all-church prayer and fasting. So I just want to have 3 days. We try to do this every quarter, and we've kind of got a little bit away from that just because of all of the other things, COVID, and sometimes just communication is a little more difficult, or we get behind on our communication. But August 3rd, 4th, and 5th for this next quarter will be prayer and fasting, focusing. And I believe that God, and this is going to kind of step right into my message this morning. I believe that God is still God. I don't know how else to put it. I look outside in the heavens. The other night, my wife and I were taking a walk outside and looking at all of the stars and how many tens of millions of light years away. And all of that, Brother Seidel, all of this God is holding in his hands. And he's looking at it as it was just a beach ball. It's hard for me to imagine sometimes when we look at God and we look at all about God and who God is and what God is. And it's just our human minds just simply, we can't comprehend something that's always been here and will always be here. Because so many times in our lives, we get tired, we get weary, and we're just ready to just give up. You ever feel that way at times? This morning, I just want to preach a message. It's actually it's more of an evangelistic message. Of course, sometimes I think that when I prepare it, and it doesn't always turn out to be as evangelistic. But nevertheless, I just want to preach to you this morning. This is not a series. It's just a one message, one-shot message here, but I want to talk about the other side of not giving up. Over the years, we've spoken of vision, we've spoken of dreams, we've spoken about how we're going to fulfill them. If you go out into the vestibule and you look out in, just as you walk out these doors and you go to the left a little bit, you'll see on the wall, you'll see a mission statement, you'll see a vision statement, and you'll see an artist rendering of a family life center that we hope to someday build. And these are all dreams, these are all visions that we as a church have together collectively. We spoke of vision, we spoke of dreams and how we're going to take and fulfill them. We fasted, we prayed, we began to focus on all of these plans. And how are we going to, and out of all of these plans, we focused on processes that had to be developed in order to make these plans work and to manage these plans. And then 2020 comes in, and it's a year that all across our nation and our world, we were talking about perfecting our vision. You remember that? It's quiet in here this morning. Everybody got their mask. Are you sleeping behind your mask this morning? Understand, when I look out in the congregation, I just see a little bit of eyeballs. So 2020 comes and everything seems to just have blown apart. The entire world has come screeching to a halt, and within the next 90 days or within the 90 days of beginning of 2020, how we have church has changed, and how we do work has changed, and how we shop for groceries has changed, and just a simple trip to the grocery store, schools have changed, hospitals have changed. It seems like everybody's focus, things that they were so focused on, has all just exploded. Vacations have been canceled and camps have been canceled. And I just received notice this week that our General Conference's 75th year of the United Pentecostal Church, our General Conference in St. Louis, has been canceled. All of those dreams that perhaps you had or I had back in January, dreams that we treasured, that we were going to work towards as the year unfolded, all seemingly just died with our old, comfortable way of living. So here I am to declare to us as a church body, to us as a family of God, to us as individuals, I'm here to declare that those dreams that perhaps you thought were dead, God is asking us, He's begging us, commanding us to pick up that dream, because within that dream lies your destiny. Listen, church, when God gives His church, His people, a dream, when God gives His people a purpose, when God gives His church a plan, when God gives us a projected destiny, it is only God that can change that dream. It's only God that can change and redirect that destiny. It is only God that can change. I still believe, church, that God still believes in His people. God has not given up when sometimes we have given up. God has not quit because sometimes we want to quit. God has not changed His plan one bit, nor has He altered His ways. Just because our life or your life may be total chaos today doesn't mean God's going to bed a nervous wreck tonight. The earth may be a mess. Politics are always a mess. Maybe your job is a mess. Maybe your marriage is a mess. Maybe your finances are a mess. None of this affects God and His plan for your life. God's plan, God's vision, it's still there, ready to be fulfilled. The problem is, it's just not happening how we all thought that it might would happen. A God-given dream, understand, is a God-given projected destiny. God gave Joseph a dream. We talked about this a few series ago, and he shares that dream with his brothers. Little did he know that that dream was going to cost him something dearly. God gave him a dream, but understand, even though it cost him, with that dream came a destiny. And there are many of us who have had a God dream that perhaps you've even given up on, or you just simply let it die. But I want to encourage you this morning, it's time to pick up that dream. It's time to pick it up. It's time to dust it off, and it's time to place it back into the hands of our Almighty God and say, God, you see, that moment that the enemy senses that you have a God-given dream, trust me, this is his pattern. He will send trouble. He will send confusion. He will send strife. But I have good news and great joy for you this morning. When you face trouble, trouble is a vote from heaven that heaven has confidence in your ability to see this thing through. As Christians, our troubles are often pathways to a triumph. Our pain is a pathway to a higher praise. The mess you're in is a pathway to the miraculous. Stop praying for God to put it off. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes we pray, God, if you could just put this off. I love what Ecclesiastes 5:4. Ecclesiastes is the preacher of the Old Testament. He says, when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. When you're seeking God's will for your life, you need to understand one very, very important thing. God is a God of principle. I have said this so many times. God will not deviate from his principles because of who we are or what we like or don't like. God is not obligated to reveal to us all of the steps in his plan. God, not most of the time, will never reveal to you what step two is for your life until you learn how to live step one. Maybe you keep saying, I want to know God's will for my career. I want to know, what about marriage, God? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to end up? I want to get back. God says, okay, you want to know all these things. Let's get back to some basics of life. When's the last time you picked up your Bible and read your Bible? When's the last time you fasted a meal or a day? When's the last time you put a check in the offering for the tithing? When's the last time you and I had a conversation with one another? He wants you to start doing what you already know to be the revealed will of God for your life before he tells you what else to do. There's so many things perhaps that God has told you to do and you haven't done them yet. And God is sitting there saying, why? That most of the time, we sometimes say, God, I'm tired of waiting on you. And God looks at us and says, you know what? I know that feeling. Because I've told you to do this, this, and this, and you haven't even started to do this, this, or this, and yet now you want this. Listen, most of the time, we're not waiting for God. God is waiting for you. Ask God, Lord, I need guidance in my life. Going through all of this mess, we have to ask him in faith to direct our paths, and we have to listen. We have to listen. We have to listen for the response from God. I'm praying, slow me down, God, so that I may listen. God, when I don't understand, help me, God, to trust in you. And help me to understand that the path that you have laid out for me is for my good. We have a hard time comprehending, swallowing that sometimes, that the problems and the strife and the troubles and all of these things that we go through, that if we believe God is laying out his will for our lives, that all of this has a purpose. Help me, Lord, not to be fearful. I have a series coming up soon on overcoming fear because I am amazed at how many people are afraid. Lord, help me not to be fearful, but to trust in you and understand the closer you get to the dream, the closer you get to your purpose, the closer you get to the goal that God has in mind for your life, the tougher it's going to get. Show me anywhere in the Word of God where when people got closer to their God-given destiny that things got easier. Anybody know? I don't know of one example anywhere in the scripture where that the closer a person got to their God-given destiny or their God-given goal, it got easier for them. You see, when we talk about dreams, we talk about vision. The purpose of a dream or a vision is twofold. The first purpose of a dream is to give you a sense of destiny. I believe that God's church is a destined church. I believe that God's church is on a path that is laid out by God. and we're not just wandering through life. We're not just a collective of a bunch of people that just accidentally stumbled across Calvary Gospel Church and we're just wandering through life together. But there's a sense of destiny, there's a sense of purpose, and there's a sense of calling that's upon your life. Because God has a dream, a plan for every person here. The second purpose of a dream is to inspire you to reach out for it, to stretch. Sometimes we get lazy spiritually, and we get in this comfort zone. And we have to go beyond. Listen, church, we have to go beyond what we think we're capable of doing. Now understand in this process of dreams and vision that some dreams can seemingly become a nightmare. I don't know about you, but have you ever had a dream home? Perhaps you bought your dream home, and that dream home turned into a money pit. Maybe you have a dream job, and you love your job. You get to go to work every day at 9 o'clock, and you have a break from 9:30 until noon. And then you get lunch, and then at lunch at 2 o'clock, your lunch break ends, and you have your afternoon snack break, and you get to go home by 5 o'clock, and they're paying you $100,000 a year. That's a dream job. Until you find out that breakfast is in Albuquerque, lunch is in Philadelphia, and supper is in Moscow. Then it not necessarily becomes your dream job anymore, because your dream job has got you stretched all over the globe and you're running here and you're running there and pressures begin to build up. You see, you have that dream car. Now, this is no reflection on Brother Jerry Simmons, and I think he can take a good joke, but there's a beautiful Jaguar sitting out in the parking lot. Have you seen it? Isn't that a gorgeous car? It don't work. It may be a dream car to have and own a Jaguar, but that dream car can break down, and it can be sitting out in a parking lot or sitting in your backyard on concrete blocks. You see, but you have to understand, there's no question that God has a dream, a plan, and a vision for every one of us. But with God's dream, with God's plan, with His vision, there's always going to come opposition. With every dream comes a possibility of a nightmare. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night in a panic nightmare? Just a horrible dream? Anybody ever have a horrible dream? I remember probably one of the most profound nightmarish type dreams I ever had was, I think I was around 4 to 5 years old. We lived in a, right at the intersection of a major intersection in Cushing, Texas, which wasn't much. I think there's about 750 people in Cushing. We left Cushing, Texas when I was 4, 5 years old. John, I think he was in maybe kindergarten, first grade. I don't even remember. But when we left Cushing, there were some buildings downtown that were boarded up. And we used to ride our old metal-wheeled skateboard that we had. I don't know if you've ever survived a metal-wheeled skateboard, kudos to you, because little rocks would send you flying. But we had this skateboard and we had this tricycle that had big wheels, and we would pull each other and we would go downtown Cushing, Texas. It was about from here to the back of the church, and then you were already getting out of downtown, but there were some buildings that were boarded up. My wife and I drove through there 3 years ago. John, those buildings are still boarded up. Not a whole lot of growth has come to Cushing, Texas. But we live there on the corner of the major intersection in Cushing, Texas, and cars would come and go. And I remember my bed was right next to the window. We actually didn't really have a bedroom that I remember. It was more like a den. And we had our little twin bed set up, and my bed was right by the window, and then John had his bed. There's a little walkway in between. And I remember I loved sleeping with my face right into the screen of the window. And I loved that air. We didn't have air conditioning, and on days like today in East Texas where the humidity is very high and it's very hot, and I mean, you just lay there in bed and you just feel the sweat pouring off you. And I was laying there and I was having a dream. And in that dream, I was looking out the bedroom window. And I could feel the cool breeze. And all of a sudden, I saw a face of a man staring right at me. Now, just understand, you're a little kid. You're laying there in bed. And I woke up, and that was so real. When I woke up, it's like I could see that face of that man staring at me through the window. To this day, I've tried to decipher in my mind, was this a nightmare, or did I have a dream? Did I wake up, and there was somebody looking in our window as a burglar? I don't know, but I just remember the fear that came over me instantly. I was not one to go jump in John's bed and sleep with John. I was, you know, I had my own bed, but boy, that sure scared me. I let out a scream, and I got up, and man, I jumped in John's bed, and I did not even want to look at the window. The next day, I moved my bed away from the window. You see, sometimes we have peaceful dreams of nice breeze blowing through the window, and then all of a sudden, that dream can become a nightmare. It can put a fear in us, and we have to understand that Satan is hell's nightmare. His main purpose is to try to steal and to kill and destroy the dreams that God has given you in your life. You see, too many people give up and quit because they have a dream that has been planted by God in their heart, but the nightmare, Satan, comes to kill, steal, and destroy and intimidate and create fear, and fear is always a liar. You see, it's impossible for God to give you a dream without the enemy attacking that dream with a nightmare. Unless we, church, can endure hell's nightmare, we will never experience heaven's dream. The moment that most people give up is our moment of greatest opportunity. You see, church, everything that you want, everything that we want, everything that we desire is just on the other side of not giving up. You see, a nightmare on one hand is the enemy trying to steal the dream and to get you to give it up. But on the other hand, the nightmare is also God's pathway to your destiny. You see, you cannot get to the dream without the nightmares, because even a nightmare can serve a purpose. We've covered some of this in our past series. We've talked about Jonah. We've talked about Joseph. We've talked about Job. We've talked about God's ways, how God desires to purify us. Nightmares will purify your motive. Nightmares will open up the question that God is asking each and every one of us: can I trust you with this dream? Can I trust you with this vision? Can I trust you when trouble comes into your life? You see, a nightmare is really all about self-discovery. A nightmare is you're going to find out who you really are. You're going to find out that your security cannot be and what other people say about you or what other people feel about you. Nightmares oftentimes reveal to us a God discovery within us. Because, church, I have found this out, that you will find out more about God in the darkness of the night. You will find out more about God in the trials of your life than you will ever find out in the moments of victory. I love what 1 Kings 8:12 says. I looked this up, and this can mean a lot of different things, but the New King James, it just simply says, God says, I dwell in thick darkness. In other words, if you want to know more about God, then he will allow you to go through the darkness of your life. Another thing about a nightmare is a nightmare is designed to shut the mouth of the devil. You see, when your nightmare is over, like Job, like Jonah, and like Joseph, it will shut the devil's mouth. The nightmare is going to shut the mouth of the devil when God turns your situation around. And I promise you, he will turn it around. We find the most perfect example of this as we look into the Old Testament, the book of Esther. Reading Esther 2:17 from the NIV, it says, the king was attracted to Esther more than any other woman, and she won his favor and approval. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen. You see, along with the destiny that God has for your life and along with the dreams that God desires to fulfill, God is giving you and I gifts. And those gifts are designed to be used to fulfill your destiny. But God not only desires to use your gifts that you may fulfill your destiny, God loves creating something from nothing. And God desires and God specializes in using your limitations. Did you know that? Did you hear that? God desires to use your limitations so you can fulfill his plan for your life. So looking again at Esther, Esther had several big limitations that had been placed upon her, but those limitations made her the perfect candidate for God to use. You see, she was orphaned as a young girl, and she was adopted by Mordecai. She was a minority living in her country, a Jew living in a Persian country. She was a single woman, and a single woman in a male-dominated society of that day had zero rights. As queen, she could not even go and have a conversation with her husband, the king, without facing the possibility of death. But you see, God used all of these things to help her fulfill her destiny. Sometimes it may look like a complete disaster in your life, but trust me, God has a greater, much bigger plan. You are only one little piece in a big puzzle of God's plan. And Esther could have just said, if I only hadn't been chosen, if I only had a better education, if I was only like more like someone else. And a lot of people, as Christians, sometimes we live a life of resentment, always looking at other people and saying, boy, would it be nice to be like them. But you see, God didn't create you like them. God created you with the limitations that he gave you so he could use you in a mighty way in his kingdom, because people will look at you and say, wow, I didn't see that coming. And you can say, it was not me, but it was the God that works through me. You have to understand, and we have to understand, church, that the unpleasant obstacles in our life are often God-ordained opportunities to make a difference. If none of us had any problems, and none of us ever had any trials, and none of us ever had any victories, and none of us ever got sick, we would never have healings. It's hard to see all of that when all you're doing is feeling pain inside of you. We looked at Job, who was the wealthiest man in the world, and God allowed everything to be taken from him, his family, his wealth, and his health. And then Job started questioning God, and maybe today you're here and you're questioning God. I want you to look at Job chapter 23, 9 and 10 and 13 and 14. Job says, I do not see him in the north, for he is hidden. Have you ever prayed this? Say, God, as you look up into the heavens, I've prayed this, God, where are you, God? I don't see him in the north, for he is hidden. I look to the south, but he is concealed. But he knows where I am going. Once he has made his decisions, who can change his mind? Whatever he wants to do, he does. So he will do to me whatever he has planned. He controls my destiny. Yes, church, we're living in uncertain times, and you may not be able to figure everything out, but trust me, God knows what's going on. The pleasures, the pain, the opportunities, and the obstacles, God is using it all. We read in Esther 4:14, but who can say, but that God has brought you into this place, into this palace, for such a time as this? I want to encourage each and every one of us to take time to hear God's calling on your life. You see, God doesn't recruit you without a calling. God calls everybody to use the gifts and the passion that they have, but the problem is not everybody is listening. The only way you're going to hear the voice of God is if you listen. You've got to be quiet. You've got to get alone, and you've got to spend time with God. When Mordecai sent Esther word that the Jews were going to be annihilated, he basically summed it up in his conversation with her in Esther 4, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, revised version here. Don't think you can just ignore this. Yea, I know it's been tough, but this is your destiny. God put you here. It is no accident that you, Esther, are a godly Jewish woman, and you are now the queen of all of Persia. It's important to read on and to see Esther's response. Esther responds in Esther chapter 4, verse 16. It says, go gather together all the Jews who are in Shushan and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. And I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. You see, Esther knew that confronting the king was probably going to mean a certain death. But she's going to have to use the gifts, the beauty, the intelligence, and the personality that caused this man to choose her as his queen. She was going to have to use those abilities that God gave her to seek an audience with the king. So before she went to see him, she set aside 3 days of retreat to pray and fast before God. Listen, if you're about to make any kind of a major decision in your life, don't make it just on a flippant response or emotional response. Get together with God. Seek Him out. Seek the face of God. Call on God. Call on Him in this time of your life. And you need to follow Esther's example. She called all the friends, called all the family. That's why God gave us each other. That's why we're in a church body together. You may look over there and say, well, you know, I really don't need Jordan Powell. I don't see him much. But what would our body here be without Jordan Powell? What would our body here be without a Jeff Neesom or a Perry Hicks or Jane Braisman? What would our body be like here? God has brought us all together for a purpose. So we need to extend time alone with God. Doesn't matter to me. We have 3 days of prayer and fasting coming up. If you're able to, just schedule some time alone with God and spend some time with Him and say, God, where do I fit in all of this? You see, we won't hear from God. We will never hear God's call on our lives if we don't ever get alone with Him. Listen, you can read the Bible and God can direct you. You can get books, good Christian by good Christian authors. You can read books that would give you good advice, but there's nothing like hearing the voice of God as He begins to speak into your mind and into your heart. And understand something, God will never speak to you anything that's contrary to what's in His Word. You say, well, how do I know it's God? Well, does it line up to what is in this book right here? If it doesn't line up, if God says, well, I want you to move, I want you to leave, I want you to go here, to go there, and you say, well, God, I need to talk to my pastor. Nope. You just talk with me. Then you might want to question where that voice is coming from. I've never told anyone not to move, but I've given them some good advice in the process. You see, when they make movies, it's kind of interesting. I don't know if you've ever, as we get ready to close here, if our musicians can come. When they make movies, sometimes they shoot, and it's kind of crazy. I every now and then I just kind of get real interested. It amazes me how many movies today are made to where that it's just actors and actresses putting on these electronic type suits, and they're acting in front of a big green screen, and everything that they're doing all of these moves and maneuvers and such, and even the clothes that they wear, they're just wearing t-shirt and the blue jeans perhaps, and maybe they're barefooted or have tennis shoes on, I don't know, but they come in afterwards and they put all of this stuff together. And a lot of times in a lot of movies, they film the ending scenes first. You may say, well, why do they do that? They do that a lot of times so that the director and the cast, the people that are involved in the movie, knows exactly how it's ending. So every line, every scene is all building up to this climatic ending. So the director and the cast, they know where the story, they know where it's heading through every scene of the movie. And sometimes God will do the same thing with our lives. He takes you through every step of your life with the end in mind. I don't know about you, but the end of my life is not whether or not we have mighty revival here at Calvary Gospel Church. I shouldn't say whether or not. When all of this transpires, that's not the end of my life. My life ends. My mortal life ends the minute that I'm called home in the rapture when I'm changed from this body of flesh of corruption to where I become incorruptible and immortal. That's the end that we need to seek. But you see, God takes us through every step of our lives. With heaven in mind. When God gives you a dream, brother or sister, He doesn't plant a dream in you and just hope that you get it. Sometimes He begins with the ending. And He goes back and says, if you won't quit, if you will endure the nightmare, you will experience the dream. Because one thing I have found out about God, whether it's a trial or whether it's a victory, God always finishes what He starts. If you could stand to your feet this morning. So many times, church, we want to give up and quit right on the verge of victory. But one thing I understand, church, and I hope you understand as well, that we do not have the luxury of giving up or quitting. Not you, not me, and not now. We must stand in faith. Don't worry. Don't be fearful and be anxious for nothing. So this morning, I just want to challenge you. Whatever dream that you've dropped or given up along the way, God is calling you to pick that dream up and understand something. Understand this. Please understand this. Just because it's not on your timetable doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Because everything that you want and everything that you desire is just simply right on the other side of not giving up. Sister Fiona, if you would sing.
There's not a mountain too tall. There's not
and He'll renew your strength.
last week, Sister Aline Bloom came up to me about this time in our service, altar call, and her brother-in-law, Julio, was extremely sick. His kidneys, everything was kind of shutting down. He was in the hospital. He had gone a month without being able to have anyone in the hospital to visit him. He could not use the bathroom because everything was just shutting down. And we just prayed. And I told her, I said, we'll commit this to prayer this week. They didn't know if he would survive the week. He's home now. He's eating, and you know what happens when you eat. Eventually, yes, you will need a bathroom. Don't we serve an awesome God? I love and appreciate every one of you. You can continue to pray and music. Sister Fiona wants to continue to sing. Love you all. God bless you all. Have a very, very blessed day today. We will see you back here on Wednesday. God bless.